Have you ever had a moment in your life when you suddenly realized you're really not as prepared as you thought you were? You ever had that moment? Maybe you're leaving on a trip. You get to the airport and you look at your phone, it's on 2%. You're like, oh man, done that. Or getting to the airport only to realize that your ID is on the kitchen countertop. You're suddenly like, oh, this is not good, not prepared. Or maybe something heavier, a season of life that arrived too fast. For those of you that are grandparents, you can agree with this, you know, and kind of relate to it. I can. And you found yourself sort of wishing that maybe you paid a little more attention along the ride. That sinking feeling of unpreparedness has a way of exposing what we've been depending on all along. And Jesus leans into that feeling as we step into chapter 25 of Matthew. He tells two stories that almost feel uncomfortably close to real life. Stories that were meant to wake us up, steady our hearts, and remind us what truly matters as we wait for his return. And the way Jesus tells it, being almost ready isn't the same as being ready. So let's step into this story. Look with me at the first 13 verses of Matthew chapter 25. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. And when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took a flask of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry. Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourself. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went with him to the marriage feast. And the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. You can almost sense the scene here, can't you? I mean, if you read through this, it's a warm Middle Eastern night. Torches flickering against the dark background. The excited whispers amongst the virgins of the wedding about to begin. 10 bridesmaids waiting. All of them have lamps. All with dresses pressed and ready. All planning to be part of the celebration. On the surface, when you look at this, you go, they seem all the same. They seem all the same. But Jesus allows us to see the difference that no one else may see here when he's telling the story. Five brought oil, and five didn't bring any additional oil. They all slept. They all woke up. They all heard the cry at midnight. But only half were prepared for this moment. Only half. That's the question Jesus is pressing into our hearts here. Are we simply carrying out the outward lamp, or do we actually have the inward oil, the Holy Spirit? Do we have that? Or on the outside, we look good. We sound good. This isn't about earning your salvation here, guys. It's about cultivating a heart that stays awake to him, keeps depending on him, and refuses to drift into a passive faith. But Jesus doesn't stop there. If you read this, listen, here's the one thing I don't want to do. I don't want to over-spiritualize every parable. You know, I heard a pastor one time tell this story about this, a different one, but he was talking about parables. And he said, how many times have you heard the story of old Mother Hubbard who lived in down the lane and she had empty cupboards? He said, you could over-spiritualize that. Oh, old Mother Hubbard. She lives all alone on the lane. Why are her cabinets empty? Because the Lord's not there. He said, no. He said, when you're walking through these parables, Jesus has a very clear message in them. Not every line has to be something ultra deep and theological. He has an overarching story. He's like, I'm going to tell you a story. Here's the theme. Here's the purpose. Here's the message. So when we read through these parables, we don't have to keep digging and digging and digging and digging. Hey, Jesus got a simple story. Be ready. Be ready. Don't just look like you're ready. So he tells us this second story here. One that's going to turn the light from outside, they're talking about the light outward, right? Their lamps, to inward. Not just on readiness, but on what we're doing with the time he's given us. So one is on being ready. And now he says, let's see what you're doing with the time. I'm giving you some time here. So let's pick back up in verse 14. Read with me. We're going to read 14 through 30 here. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one, he gave 5 talents. To another, 2 talents. And to another, 1. To each according to his abilities. Let me just stop there really quick. You read that. This is not about talents like I can sing and dance and all that. This is not that type of talent. It's money. Now understand, for every talent he gives them, a talent in this time is worth about 20 years of labor. That is a long time. He's giving one guy 100 years of labor money. Another guy is giving 40 years. And even the least of them, he's giving 20 years of money. That's a lot. I mean, if somebody came up to you and said, hey, I'm going to give you 20 years of your pay, you'd be like, hand it over. You know? So he says he's going to do this. And then what does he do? He goes away. And he who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them. And he made 5 talents more, doubled his money. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more, doubled his money. But he who had received the 1 talent went, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Doesn't sound like a good idea. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So the master returns. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, and saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. And his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over the little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. And his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over the little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have scattered no seed. Then you ought to have at least invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own interest. So taking the talent from him, and he gave it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has more, whoever has, will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This story hits a little differently, doesn't it? This is a different story altogether. Because now we're not just waiting, we're responsible. Not just waiting, we're responsible. The wealth has been entrusted by the master to the servants. He gives us opportunities. He gives us influence. He gives us influence and abilities, and he gives us time. And then he just leaves. He's left. Not because he doesn't care, because he trusts what he reveals into our hearts, right? He's revealing to these guys, hey, here's what I'm giving you to do. Now notice, not everyone got the same thing. Sometimes we go around our life going, why didn't Jesus give me more? Jesus is like, hey, I'm entrusting to you what you can handle. You know, some people can handle more. Not everyone can handle the same. So God's like, I'm entrusting different levels, but he's still giving that one guy 20 years. 20 years of pay. It's like he's giving him nothing. He's giving him 20 years of pay and saying, I'm trusting you here. Do something with this. Maybe he just doesn't trust him as much as he does the guy with the five. But that's okay. He's still being trusted. Two servants step into what's been given. What do? They go out. They risk it. They grow it. They honor the master by treating his gift as valuable. They didn't just take it and say, well, he gave me this. I'll just do whatever. I don't care. When he comes back, I'll just give him whatever's left. They said, I'm going to do something with what he's trusted me with. And when the master returns, their faithfulness bursts into joy, right? They don't have to be scared of the master. They've been faithful to the master here. But the third servant, he buried his gift. He played it safe. He protects his comfort. You ever do that in your walk? Where you're just sort of like, you know what, I'm not going to share the gospel because I just want to kind of play it safe. I don't want to put myself out there. I don't want to be uncomfortable. I want to be comfortable in this world. I want the world to love me, like me, hug me, be all about me. Listen, if you step out for the Lord, the world is going to hate you. It's going to come against you. It's going to call you names. It's going to despise you. And you have to be willing as a follower of Christ, and that's the definition of following Christ, is going where he leads you, where he takes you. And it's not going to be comfortable. If you walk with the Lord, it will be the most exciting walk and the scariest walk all in the same thing. Because God's going to take you places that you are not comfortable. He's going to take you places that you don't feel like you belong. He may say, guess what? I want you to go teach the word and love at a gay pride festival. Show up there. See how much love you get. You're not getting a lot. You're going to get a lot of hate, a lot of cursing. You will walk and you will meet people that will be open and loving about the word of God. But you're going to go, Lord, are you crazy? You want me to go where? You want me to do what? I'm scared to death. And God goes, go do it and see how good I am. See what I do in your life. And even if no one comes to Christ, your faith in Christ will grow. Because you'll be like, man, Lord, you did take care of that. I was okay. Listen, don't fear the one that can only kill you once, right? Fear the one that can kill you twice. I don't worry about my flesh. My flesh, as I get older, I realize how much it's failing me. Every morning I have a new ache, a new pain. I'm like, I was so healthy yesterday. Why do my hips suddenly hurt? I think it's partly because God's given me empathy for those who have hurting hips. Honestly, because those who have it, I'm like, come on, man, you're a man, we can deal with this. And now I'm like, I don't want to deal with this. But what I've recognized is that my faith in my flesh was foolish. My faith in my flesh was foolish, guys. It's going to fail me. And my faith in the world is foolish as well, because it will stick a knife in my back the moment that I speak about Christ. It will love me until that moment, and when I change my tone and my message, it will instantly hate me and come after me. And you know what I say to that? Bring it on. I am going to die at some point. I have learned in my years that not everyone likes me, though I'd like them all to like me. Not everyone likes me, and a lot of people, quite honestly, don't like me. Not just not like me, they don't like me. And I'm okay with that because I'm walking in God's ways and I'm delivering his message, not my message anymore. The first parable warned us against spiritual apathy. Apathy that we have in our walk. The second one warns us against spiritual inactivity. Jesus is telling us something essential here. Readiness isn't passive. You can't be ready and be passive. Readiness is productive. You know when you're ready with the Lord because you're being productive, you're being active. And I don't mean going out and just doing things for salvation. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying you're in the Word, you're in prayer, you're in fellowship, you're spreading the gospel message, you're doing things, right? Our faith is alive. It's not just a proclamation, oh, I believe in Jesus Christ. Well, good for you. I want to see your faith living. I want to see it out there doing things. Not so that you get credit, a check mark. not so that people look at you and go, what a great Christian. I want you doing things because you have faith in Jesus Christ. You believe the message that you've given your life to, the gospel message. And you say, because I believe this message, I'm going to deliver this message. I'm not going to sit around and go, well, I've got the message. I have my lamp, but I have no oil for my lamp when it runs out. I'm going to be out there seeking the oil, the Holy Spirit. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me the power that I need to be bold, that I need to be brave, that I need to be coherent and clear when I'm delivering your message. I want that. A ready heart keeps itself full of oil. You have to keep your heart full of oil. Now here I say oil, the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself full of the Holy Spirit. That means walking with Jesus daily, right? Not just occasionally. Like Jesus isn't just like a once a week friend. When you show up for church, you're like, hey, Jesus. And at the after the hour, you're like, see you next week, Jesus. That's not what it's about. He's not the occasional God, not the occasional Lord, not the occasional King of your heart. He's the every single day, minute, hour, month, year. I don't care. He's everything every day. And look, we're not going to live up to that standard. You're not going to live up to that standard. I wish I could say I did. There are so many days that I struggle to remember that I need to be spending time with Christ because the world keeps screaming at me, look at all your problems. Look at the things you need to solve, Mike. You need to solve things. And instead of turning to the Lord, I turn to my brain or my arms to get something done. And God's like, well, that's cool. You can do it that way. But it'd be better if you started with me. Maybe I got a better solution. He probably does. I'm confident he does because I've seen all the bad solutions I've had. But we need to let the Holy Spirit fill us again and again and again. We need to stay tender. We need to stay attentive to the Lord. We need to stay teachable. How many of you guys are teachable? You have to be teachable. You can't think, I know it all. God's revealed everything to me. Well, we can talk after church. I may need you to come around and hang out with me for a little bit. Because God has revealed a lot to me and I'm too hard-headed to hear it half the time. I don't want to drift into this numbness with the Lord where I just sort of go, I mean, I've been saved. I go to church. I do Thursday night Bible study. Once in a while, I might hand out a tract. Other than that, it's kind of where I'm at. We don't want to do that. A ready heart is going to use what God has given you. God has given us the Holy Spirit. And we're going to use that. We're going to say, Lord, I just need your words. And the Holy Spirit will give you the words. You ever been there? You ever gone somewhere and you met someone that, first time you've ever met them. And you start talking to them. And they say something ridiculous. You know, God was a misogynist. Oh. Okay. Well, I wasn't expecting that. That's not the conversation I was waiting to go into. Lord, give me the words. I need your words to talk to them. Because in my flesh, I want to argue. You're a knucklehead. You don't know what you're talking about. Well, let me tell you, and it just doesn't ever go well. But if you do that Nehemiah prayer, help, Lord. Help, Lord. The Holy Spirit will give you the words. I'm going to tell you a really quick story. Years ago, when I was just a young believer, we go to a birthday party. And at this birthday party, this pastor walks up to me. Very nice guy. It was a great conversation. And he starts talking. He was very educated. Very educated man. And I'm a very ignorant man at the time of the word. And so I pray, Lord, I don't even know how to talk to this guy. I don't understand half the stuff he's talking about. And the Lord gave me the Holy Spirit at that point, an infilling at that point. And I just started talking through scripture after scripture after thing after thing. It's stuff I didn't know. I mean, honestly, I was like, man, I went back later and I was like, does that make sense? But here's the deal. The guy who stood there like dumbfounded as I spoke to him and spoke the word of the Lord to him and challenged some things he said through scripture. And later what I found out from my friend was that he went to my friend and said, what school did that guy go to? What seminary did he go to? Because I want to learn about it. And I told him, I said, I don't even know what I said, dude. All I did was pray like, Lord, give me something to say here. And the Lord just poured out all this stuff. And my point in all of that is not about me, it's about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can do things that you cannot do. He can give you scripture that you're like, I don't remember that scripture. And the Holy Spirit's like, here's the scripture. You go, oh man, how did I remember that scripture? I don't ever remember that scripture. You ever had that? You're talking to someone and a scripture pops in your head. You're like, I don't know the last time I read that scripture. It's got to be 10 years ago. And the Holy Spirit's like, that's cool. I know the whole scripture. Here's one. Use that. You're like, it's amazing. But God wants your gifts. He wants your time. He wants your influence. He wants your relationships. He wants your opportunities. And he wants to use your story. All of these things. Nothing that God has placed in your hands is small in his hands. Whatever you have put into the hands of the mighty God is a mighty gift. It's a mighty thing. Nothing is wasted through our God. Absolutely nothing. Everything entrusted to God, hear this, everything that you entrust to God, Henry, everything we entrust to God has eternal weight. Put that in your heads, guys. Everything you give to God, like I am giving my life to God. I am giving my words to God. I'm giving my marriage to God. I'm giving my child to God has eternal weight. Nothing is going to go wasted. The wise versions here, we see they weren't scrambling around. They were like, oh, what do we do? Right? They weren't doing that. They were prepared long before that midnight cry came. They were ready for him. The faithful servants weren't panicking. They didn't freak out, right? They were ready because they had been investing and preparing all along. They weren't caught off guard. Readiness is the quiet, steady rhythm of obedience. Steady rhythm of obedience. It's the day in and day out action of being obedient. That's how you know you're ready and you're prepared, because daily you're in the Word. Daily you're in his presence. Daily you're praying. Daily you're in fellowship. We're going to conclude with this. One day, maybe soon, I sure hope so, the cry at midnight's going to come. The cry at midnight's going to come one day, guys. We're not going to be prepared for it. And that's whether Jesus Christ himself returns or you die and go to him. That midnight call will come. And on that day, if the Master returns, for every believer, guys, that is a moment that is not a moment to be scared of. That is a moment to be excited about. I tell my wife all the time, there are days I'm afraid of death. And there's other days I'm like, I'm going to go, when I die and stand before my Lord, I'm going to say, why didn't you do it sooner? Why didn't this happen sooner, Lord? I am so ready to be in your presence. When I get there, I'm not going to look back and have regrets. I'm going to be so excited that I'm standing in his glorious presence. And I will wonder, I really wish I had been a little bit earlier. A day would have been nice. A month would have been nice. Because I can't get enough of eternity with my Father. His return is going to be glorious. It's meant to be a moment where every yes, every acceptance of Jesus, every unseen act of obedience, every step of faith, every surrendering your fear to him, is gathered into that joy of the Master. Listen, when these servants took the money and invested it, they knew the Master was coming back. And they were waiting to give him his due. Like, here's what you gave us, and here's what we've earned while you're gone. And what does he say? He's like, I love these servants. You know, like, he's joyful that they were there. It was excitement for them. So we live ready. We live awake. And we live faithful as we go every day as a follower of Christ, not because we're afraid of missing out, but because we love the one who entrusted us with this life. We love him. And when he comes, we want to be found with lamps, and not just lamps, lamps that are burning bright, lamps that are filled with oil. Lamps that are this, we're excited about his coming back, and we've been busy. Our hands have been busy. We haven't been sitting around and sort of like, well, he'll come back someday. We've been excited about his return, knowing he's going to return. Look, if you know a king is returning and you're not sure when, you'd be a fool to sit around and do nothing. So when he returns, he finds his gardens are destroyed and there's no work that's been done. He's like, what have you been doing this whole time? I gave you, Mike, 57 years. What have you done with that 57 years? I don't want that. I want when he comes back, I might have to explain the first 25. But after that, I'm gonna be able to be like, okay, I've been working for you, Lord. I gave my life to you, God. I'm doing things that you're calling me to. Thankfully, it's a loving God, so he'll be okay with my first 25. He'll forgive me for that. But the point being is, I don't want to be sitting idly. I don't want you guys to be sitting idly. I don't want our church to be idle. We need to be every day asking ourselves, what can I do that the Lord is calling me to? What can the fellowship do that the Lord is calling us to? That is a continual prayer of mine, and it should be a continual prayer of yours. Lord, how do you want to use me? What are you going to do with me today, God? You don't have to plan 3 weeks from now. Wake up in the morning and then spend some time with the Lord and say, all right, God, what are we doing today? What's on the schedule? Tell me. Point me. Give me the strength for it, the energy for it, the braveness, the boldness. Just give me that strength, Father God. Let's keep the oil fresh, guys. Keep the lamps full, right? And every talent that we have, everything he's given to us, entrusted to us, let's invest it into his kingdom. His kingdom. Listen, at the end of the day, I don't care how much money you make. It's going to fail you. Your money does not care anything about you. That doesn't say go out and be lazy. You need to make an earning. You need to take care of your families. You need to eat. You need to have a house over your head. But that should not be where your trust is. Do not trust in money. The day you die, guess what happens? My son was out here earlier talking about getting my estate. And I'm like, dude, I'm not even dead. I'm 57. So I told him that I was giving my money to a dog foundation. But anyway, but the point being is, it was the moment I die, my money goes to someone else. My money will not cry for me. My car will not cry for me. My goats won't cry for me. Nothing's going to cry for me except for my wife and kids, maybe. But none of that stuff that I chase after is going to care about me. My Savior cares about me now, and he cares about me when I die and come into his presence, because he wants to have eternal fellowship with me. He wants to have eternal fellowship with all of his followers. So that's where I'm putting my faith. Let's be ready, fully, joyfully, faithfully ready for his return. All right, guys, let's pray. Father God, we love you so much, Lord. I just pray, Father, for each of us as we go through our walk with you, as we try to figure out, you know, what do you have for me, Father? What is your plan for this day, Lord? Father, I pray that we'd be willing to hear you. We'd be willing to be obedient, Father God, even in our discomfort, even in our fear. Lord, that we would say, here I am, when you call us to do something, Father. That we just simply say, here I am, Lord. Lord, I thank you that we don't have to know every detail, that you've planned out the perfect plan. And we just need to be obedient in this moment, in these small things that you call us to, Lord. Father, I thank you for each person that's here this morning. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to share your word, Father. Lord, we just love you so much. Father, we long for your return. I long for that fellowship that will last through eternity, Lord. And Lord, I thank you that here, today, now, I can taste and experience that fellowship with you, Lord. I don't have to wait until after I'm dead, Lord. But right now, I can walk with you. I can be in your presence. Father, I can hear from you, and I can be washed in your word, Lord. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day, Lord. Give us opportunities, Father, to be obedient. Give us opportunities to share your word with those that are hurting, that are lost, that are struggling, Father. Maybe they're struggling with depression. Maybe they're struggling with anxiety. Maybe it's their finances aren't going well. The marriage is in shambles, Lord. Maybe one of their children are wandered away from you, Father God, and they're being prodigals. Or maybe they themselves, Father, are just doing things that don't bring glory to you, Father. Lord, give us the opportunity to speak into their life and do it in a way that shows you and not us, that pours love onto them, Father God, while delivering truth at the same time, Father. Father, we love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.